First Chronicles chapter 4 is a verse we know very well from verse 9. Now, he was describing a lot of genealogies there, but then he puts an interjection here to explain a principle from the life of Jabez, the experience that he had with God. And he said in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable. Please, everybody say the word honorable.
Honorable.
All right. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mothers called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. The meaning of the word Jabez is son of sorrow. All right? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Now, please, two things I want to highlight from here. Briefly, the first one, then the second one, more importantly. The first one, he said, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. He was a more outstanding person. His lifestyle was different. He did things superior, that is, in a superior fashion, morally speaking now and spiritually speaking, that is, in relation to the righteousness of God, he did things better than his brothers. Now, but Jabez had a background. Please, note this. He was called the son of sorrow. Now, and something is clear. For whatever reason, his background had an effect. That is, that name had an effect on him. Because he had to call to God because he was not yet blessed. There was no blessing in his life. I hope you're following the point. That's why he said, God, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Now, so the first thing is the fact that he was more honorable than his brothers. But second one, more importantly, is the fact that he was called the son of sorrow, which we have heard taught about a lot of times. What I just want to emphasize, in fact, the question I want to answer, or should I don't know whether to title this short exhortation, whether to give it a title, but I want to talk about, are there curses, really? You know, I want to talk about the matter of curses again. We should keep on talking about these things so that people can have good understanding of them. And, you know, actually what I want to talk about briefly is the matter of the cure. Yes, curses exist. Let me just go over that quickly again. They exist. They exist. You hear what I said? They do what? They exist. Once my wife and I went to visit a friend of mine, that was a few nights ago, last week or so. And we're talking about this again. You know, I'm very happy that not only am I a black man, I'm a very black man. Do you understand my point? So if I was very fair now, you will say this man is talking like this, that we are not sure whether he's pure black. You get my point? If these two people here that are preaching this message, you can be doubting where they came from. But as for me, you can't doubt it. Now, I like it because I can speak comfortably, confidently, and nobody can vex for me. The world thrives on political correctness. So the message I'm preaching, a white man can't preach it. Even if he believes it, he dares not preach it. He can't. Because we will lynch him. I suspect that I, with all the understanding I have, will probably champion the lynching. A white man won't dare preach it. Let me tell you, better believe it. The black man has a spiritual problem. You want to know the meaning of the how to spell spiritual problem? C-U-R-S-E. Can't pronounce it. I'm telling you the truth. The curses exist, my brother, my sister, they do. Amongst the descendants of Noah, one group of them, all right, they're called the sons of Ham. Noah baptized them with a curse. He did. Don't be angry with Noah. Don't be angry. All these ones has happened just for a few days. That's what the Bible calls the demonstration of God's righteousness. That's what he's doing. In fact, there's one thing I struggled with myself today not to preach that message this evening. You know that if God creates Adam 10 times, Adam will fall 10 times. Not for any other reason than it is crucial that Adam falls, that he might remain perpetually in righteousness. And I don't have time to discuss it now. That's just the way it is with God. If God starts again, say, let's make man again. The day after he finishes, serpent will show up again, and God will fold his hand and be watching. And the woman will collect it, eat, turn around, give the husband, two of them will go into trouble, and God will be looking. Say, so, don't enter, finish. Yes, and now let's now pull you out. It's very crucial that men enter into first round trouble. It's very crucial. It's part of divine order. Aye. Don't hang me. What I'm telling you is the truth. Now, why does it bother? Why does it not bother God? Why does it bother us? It bothers us because we think a matter of days and weeks, like human days and weeks. So it appears like a long time. But for God, He looks over the matter of eternity. So what happens that everybody struggles over for 1,000 years, to Him, is just the first phase of making a point. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll discuss those things next year. Is that all right? So you see, there's a reason why I'm saying so. So don't be angry with Noah. Why it's crucial that God lets it happen. You know, just by the way, you know communism? Communism, God watched it thrive for almost 100 years. He wasn't bothered. He said, but by the time you guys finish, when you see communism, even if you hate God, you will hate communism. So now, even China, they are claiming they are communists. You know they are not communists. That's not communism they are practicing. Fidel Castro has confessed that communism doesn't work for Cuba. Fidel Castro. The North Koreans, I'm sure they don't believe in communism. They just have one family keeping everybody in bondage. And when God is ready, He will liberate people. What I'm trying to bring us here is this. So when God lets things strive, a lot of times it is to make His point. It's what the Bible calls the demonstration of what? His righteousness. Now, let me not digress into that too much. Let me sit on the matter of Noah. So Noah, you see, indeed placed a curse on a certain group of people. And chief amongst them are these ones that reside in Africa. Yes. It is not, you know, I've said it several times, and this, I know what I'm saying is true. But why does it bother me to say it? It's because I am not saying that I am inferior to somebody else. I'm not saying you are inferior. What I am preaching is for you to appreciate what Christ Jesus did. Are you getting my point? That only in Him, all right, is important. That it is only in Him that you have the freedom to be equal to anybody else. It's only Christ Jesus. So, and that's why I'm not angry. You know, I'm not angry. You know, my wife and I were talking yesterday. She was just discussing. You know, we're just talking about things, and said that her father's stepmother has 16 children. I said, you didn't tell me this before I married you, sure. I'm just finding this one out yesterday. Just gisting. Now, she made the point, of course, her father, she traveled last week, and so I think she and her father were talking, just gisting and all of that. They went for something. And the reason he said that is because then children used to die a lot. Do you understand? Oh, of those 16 children, maybe like half or two-thirds made it into adulthood. So don't think that the woman that has 16 children calling her mother. No. A lot of them die in infancy and all of that. And that my father-in-law's mother had, 12 or so children? And of course, about 4 or 5 died. You understand? And what kills them? From the stories, you know, you now look back, malaria. Malaria. Little things. Diarrhea. Yes. But they were so used to people dying, they knew they had to have plenty of children. That's Africa. And we're telling stories of just about 50, 60, 70 years ago. When she told me, I said, this is why I get angry. When people tell me that white man came to plunder us, it irritates my soul. Now, if you have 16 children, if no armed robber shoots one, and gun, I'm serious, and road traffic accident does not kill another, you are sure that they will live to adulthood. Because malaria ain't getting anyone. These days, where did malaria come from? You give an quarter, you not go. That is, there are so many drugs that are affordable for 200 naira. When I told my wife, I said, listen, I'm a doctor, right? So I know these things. Number one killer of people in advanced countries, that's children, you'll be surprised, is leukemia. Most of you here don't know what leukemia is.
it occurs here. Do you understand my point? But here we don't talk much about it because there are so many other things queuing up in front to kill people that leukemia has to wait its turn. But there are very few. Please, are you getting my point? You know, Ogbanje died once white man showed up. Not by prayer. Then what they get Ogbanje spirit. It's only, they only exist in white garment churches and in confused churches these days. Which kind of Ogbanje spirit? They give you medicine, all the Ogbanje will disappear from your soul. Now, you get what I'm saying? That's why it annoys me. It's a colonial masters. Stop using the word colonial masters. Call them colonial saviors. It's a good name. We should start sending tithes and offerings to this white country for what their grandfathers did for us. They're not colonial masters. They're colonial saviors. And you see people, you know, the other day we went to, from Calabar, I went to River State, I mean, you know, across river. From Calabar, we went, drove, you know, the river is very long. So we drove on Bad Road for like 8 hours to get to Obudu. And I was looking at Nigeria is a blessed country. I was looking at the bush, the thick bush. And I felt like giving an offering to a white man. Why? I said, you mean somebody came when there were no roads and said he's an explorer or a missionary into this jungle? God will find it hard right now to send me anywhere like that. I know you have to put the spirit inside me, so I'm just saying, as I did now, ain't going to jungle for nobody. That's why people say that Nigeria is rough, Nigeria is rough. I get angry, say, therefore we'll run to America, we'll run here. I say, my friend, if David Livingstone wakes up, if those men of those days, they wake up, they will beat you very well. I saw the thick tropical riverine forest in Cross River, I look, I said, and one white man got up and came down here. When his people were already manufacturing engines, they already had railroads. And he would be crying. For your information, when Livingstone arrived, a lion tore off one of his limbs. Rendered the man paralyzed in one hand for the rest of his life. By the time he was there, I think he had one hand and one eye. Now, I'm bringing on something. So, you now look at those men and you start fighting them that they came to plunder. If I was God, I would make sure your tongue can't pronounce the word plunder again. They're not colonial masters, they are colonial saviors. According to Gordon's, we're not for Mary Slessor. There will be nothing like P squared. There will be P1. Now, Gordon's talk down on comedian. He said, better clap for Mary Slessor because if not those days, P squared for waiting. May go Calabar side. You'll harvest one of them when they come by his P1. I think that the kind of thing we sat in. Now tell me that may God bless the white people who came to Africa. They're not colonial masters, they're colonial saviors. But like I said, listen, I can say this thing because you, me, we are fellow. You understand my point? that's number one. But the most important thing is that the reason why they came was because the Spirit of Christ, believe me, was moving them down to come and give us deliverance. And what I preach, and that's what I'm an apostle of, that's what I teach, that there is deliverance in Christ Jesus. I was on the phone for about 30 minutes with my friend who went on a missionary trip to Uganda. And as he was talking about work and think, hello, God, I just said myself, this is work that we must do. He said, these guys are hungry for the true word. You give them a book, tomorrow morning they finish reading it. That, listen, we need to penetrate literally Africa. I know God came through Nigeria so he can spread this thing properly all over Africa. It's very important. But that's not my message. I get carried away when I get into all those things. All right? Because I don't say he came to plunder. I wish he would come back to plunder some more. Because like I told you before, if the man wants to plunder, he'll build a railroad to where he wants to go and plunder. builds a road to where he wants to go and plunder, builds a hospital where he's plundering, schools for more plundering. By the time he finishes plunder, everybody's well developed. He's a cursed man that eats like a parasite. No, not like a parasite. Parasite are smarter. He eats until he kills the host. All of them die. Boom. You know, once my friend told me a joke. He said there was flood and a scorpion was caught on a small island and water was rising. So he saw the frog swimming by. So he begged Mr. Frog, please give me a lift onto better ground. And frog said, you, scorpion, me, give me a lift. That is risky. You will sting me and I'm dead. And the scorpion said, listen, think about it. If I sting you and you die, what happens to me? I drown. So why should I sting you? And the frog looked at him and said, that makes sense. All right, hop on. So the guy climbed on the scorpion's back, on the frog's back, and the frog started moving. After a while, halfway through the journey, he felt one bad sting. Bang! And the poison began to move into his system. And as he was beginning to lose vision and he was realized that he was dying, he turned to the scorpion. I said, but why? That is, now you two are going to drown. And the scorpion said, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. It's my nature. I couldn't help it. Listen, that's why Christ Jesus didn't come to give us laws. He came to remove that scorpion nature that will sting the very land that's supposed to give us sustenance. We'll kill it. Instead of developing a hospital near home, you rather be giving your brothers money one by one to travel. One day, oh God, man, let me not tell too many stories. One day some people came from Abuja, they couldn't understand us in UNTH. They couldn't understand. Somebody stole an equipment for our radiotherapy unit that was valued at 20 million naira. The problem is not that the value is 20 million, it's that he can't sell it. Do you get my point? It's not the value that was upsetting the men that came from Abuja. They just couldn't understand that whoever took this thing can't sell it. It's useless. And in the whole of Eastern Nigeria, there is not one single radiotherapy center. The only one they are trying to build, one idiot disabled it. Now everybody that needs radiotherapy in Enugu and the environs would have to go to Abuja or Lagos. The people who came from Abuja, they couldn't understand that. Please, please, you guys explain to me what's going on. It's not. See, it's the nature. It's a scorpion spirit. We queue up for treatment abroad. We go to Egypt, South Africa. That's what scorpions do. They will sting the frog and drown in the process. Listen, my brethren, it's a curse. You get what I'm going to say? It's a serious problem. Like I said, what I'm preaching is that Christ Jesus came to take out that scorpion spirit. And listen, if you understand, if you say you want to, listen, if you don't want to be a preacher, it's not. There are many other jobs to do. In fact, if you want to be a thief, physical thief, you make a lot of money. It's a better way to go and steal than to come and steal on the pulpit. There's more mercy before God for the thief who's a frank thief. There's no pretending. You understand my point? Now the one that looks like a holy man and starts stealing. What? There's a reason I'm saying so. This job is a risky job. You know why? Because you're a minister of life. The hope for the people you are preaching to is the word of God. God doesn't think it funny for you to corrupt it deliberately. It's not funny. Because that scorpion spirit that we are talking about, this is the only thing that will pull it out. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the solution to the problem so that a scorpion would no longer sting the frog that is rescuing it. That's why we have to preach the gospel and preach it truthfully. We have to. We just have to. Because believe me, that is the solution. It's not plenty talk. It's like You know, when I see people trying to settle quarrel between Arabs and Israelis, I laugh. They have some, there are two scorpions right there. It's their nature. They can't stop, those guys, they can't stop quarreling. If the Arabs don't quarrel with the Jews will quarrel with somebody else. If you remove the Jews, the Arab will quarrel with his neighbor. That's just the way they are. You know, all right? They are not my message. And anyway, that they are not my message. But what I'm going to say is that trying to reason people out of what is their nature is impossible. You can only change the nature by the delivery of the true word of God. Are you getting my point? It's as that one enters that it turns the heart of people. And that's why, listen, in Nigeria, you pray for the country, it's very important. But very importantly, pray that God, because that's divine intervention. God doesn't convert everybody. When he has converted enough, what they call remnants, then he starts destroying the opponents to the remnants. That's all he can do. He can't change people by force. Just that he's long-suffering, he waits patiently. How many do we have? They say, we have 3,000. I say, fine, continue walking. Then one day the angels will say, yes, they are now 10,000 serious people who are ready for righteousness. God says, okay, fine, start judgment. Then the angel will draw out his sword and start destroying, scattering. You preserve those people that will be God's people to effect change. Then you will stand against a man. He looks very small and paperless that he can't harm anybody. But because God has appointed and anointed him as his instrument of change, anybody who stands against him gets beheaded at 12 noon. That's the way God works. He's just watching everybody. Every stealing, I have no problem with stealing. Money can never be properly stolen. It can only be temporarily stolen. When you carry it from here, you put it somewhere. And I know where to find it. So don't worry. Keep stealing. Keep scattering things. Meanwhile, I keep preaching. I keep preaching, sending my ministers out to preach. They'll just, okay. What they are doing, the angels are going here and there, talking to people. Yeah, come. The preachers are going, declaring the word. The angels are there. Yeah, are you one of them? Come. Holy Spirit is moving. Once they are enough, God, you know, there are some, you know, I told you, Apostle Benga said, there are some angels that smoke. So those ones, they are stoning up right now. In one corner, stoning up, waiting. Then when God just says, it is enough, these are the just do. Phew! Collect a sword. You know, when David sinned, it was sacrifice they used to stop the angel. Not to, no, that is like, your heart small. The guy was just like this, wait. David saw it, oh, yeah. The guy said, well, me, I'm not saying, no, you know, I don't give it. I don't know you before. I'm not a devil, I'm an angel. Didn't you hear the angel of God? Is that not what he said? Yeah. When he went into Egypt, it was a sweet, see, you know SARS? Yes, Special Anti-Robbery Squad. Some of those guys are not normal people. I'm serious. They like the fact that it's armed robbery. So it gives them opportunity to kill somebody. Then you just say, the people that hear the armed robbers are operating, they quickly dress up and start running down there. Say, hey, praise God. There are angels like that. That's what I'm trying to say. One of them went into Egypt in one night. In one night, he went to every house and took somebody out. I didn't feel very happy. Those angels, they never die. You know, they don't feel die. They are not out of commission. They hang in one corner of heaven where they are on drugs. You know, according to Apostle Benga. Why am I telling their story? The day God says, okay now, they suddenly come out and you will see calamity after calamity. They're destroying and destroying. I told you, I heard this man teach. What's his name? Jack Hayford. Hayford said, John was crying. Why is the book sealed? He said, don't cry anymore. They broke the seal. When they broke the seal, will you think that, manna will fall from heaven? No. Wrath rained down from heaven. Trouble rained down from heaven. It's not the book we're crying just now that let them not open, let them open because we want to be blessed. But Hayford said, that's the first round. When God wants to pour forth the blessing, he first goes forth to purge. So all the calamity you are seeing is God purging the land. You get my point? So listen, you can't convert everybody. Those days, people will finish preaching and say, what must we do that we may be delivered from the judgment to come? So what happens is that once the world is going forth, people who are believing are being delivered from the judgment to come. Then when the house is full, they lock the doors. The terrible angels now go out. What they start doing, they start cleansing the way for the elect of God to take their proper places on the earth. You get what I'm saying? What really distresses saints is that sometimes they appear so long. How long, God, will you wait? How long? God said, don't worry. I know what I'm doing. I'm counting. I'm putting some things in place. All right, the Lord is good. Anyway, I said all of that to bring out something, all right? That when we're talking about curses, what is it? Do they really exist? And I said, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And there are different levels of them, different levels. When we talk about generational curses, I don't want to emphasize too much on it because I'm going somewhere particularly. Let me say something. When I talk about generational curses, again, they are real things. They are real things. Like I said, some people in the scriptures, they are to be hewers of wood and fetchers of water. Listen, no matter how hard, let me tell you something. If somebody has a curse on his head, no matter how hard he works, bad luck will jam him. Really? You see, for him, it's a destiny. It's not a trial. I don't know whether I get my point. A saint, a child of God, can have a trying time. But when a cursed man, all right, is being afflicted, it's perpetual. Now, I need to say that quickly because it's not struggling hard that brings him into prosperity. It is praying rightly, like Jabez prayed. That's where I was going. That's where I'm going. All right? Now, generational curses, the exam. I don't have time now today to explain all of that in detail. The next point I want to make is this. Even though they exist, you know, one of the most accursed people around Israel were the Moabites. God didn't like them. That Jericho, God placed a curse on Jericho. In fact, if you see, let me not mix the scriptures now, but there's a scripture in which the children of Israel were banned, all right, from marrying Moabites. They even tell you about their children down to a particular generation. There's a way it is. Are you getting my point? I didn't cross-check my facts now before I came up. I just remembered it. But Ruth was from where? People say, God forget the commandment. Yes, Ruth was from where? Moab. So you think that, did God forget what he said? What's the name of the other? Rahab was from where? Jericho. The reason I'm saying is that even though there's indeed a curse on a whole generation, there's one scripture I was looking for earlier that caused me to delay a bit. All right? But the one I found is that one in Romans chapter 10. They said, when he said, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. That is amongst the Moabites. With all the curses that God rained upon them, if one person will call upon him, he's delivered from the curse. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way God is. When Rahab, amongst the people of Jericho, called out, she was delivered. This is my opinion. Because of Ruth's calling out to God, God didn't see her anymore as a Moabitess. He also saw her as another normal human being, because the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Are you getting my point? He said, as far as it's concerned, there's no difference. That's why I was saying earlier, Africans, they have a serious spiritual problem. But if you teach the truth of the word of God, and men call upon God based upon that truth that's taught, God can't see any difference. He will bless them just as much as he can bless anybody. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's the way it works. Yes, generational curses exist. As a matter of fact, they do. I don't have time now to start discussing how they come to be. But they do exist. I'm focusing my teaching. That's why we talked about Jabez. There was something behind Jabez. And what did he do? He simply knelt down and he prayed. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. When Jabez called upon God, God answered him. That's how God, do you know Ahab? Ahab was wicked. If Ahab married, you know, what they call cofactor or coenzyme in science. Things that make your enzyme work faster. His cofactor was Jezebel. And he married Jezebel, the two of them combined, did plenty evil. And God was so angry that I'm going to kill everybody. Then Ahab said, but I'm sorry. And God said, hey, did I say I was going to kill Ahab? No, I'm telling you. Even God said, look at how Ahab has humbled himself before me. So he began to modify the judgment immediately. Except that the man did not persist in his repentance. That's the thing about it. After God softened small, he became harder still. So God had no choice but to take him out entirely. Why did I say this? A lot of times people say that, am I cursed? Am I not cursed? Say, listen, do they exist? Yes. But you see, once somebody believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's automatically delivered. I don't believe in special deliverance for him. No, I don't. It's unnecessary. Unless you don't teach him the truth. Now, the problem is that people think when they have one or two problems, you understand, is a sign that they are not blessed, but they are cursed. That is one thing I want to explain again. It's not true. The blessed man, who is a righteous man, must have problems 7 times. Did you hear what I said? The righteous man gets problems how many times? 7 times. Like I said earlier, for a cursed man, his problems, in fact, they don't even start early. They prosper for a while. What's the name of that priest that was with David, who now conspired against David? And then David sacked him as an old man to fulfill the prophecy that was put upon the house of Eli. A righteous and blessed man gets his problems early in life. Do you get my thing? Listen, you've seen small people. They join to politics, they join cults, so that they can become rich. Don't worry about them. Their poverty will start at the age of 55. Yes, it's prophetic. That's about the time it will start. The righteous man, that guy will blossom when he's young. The righteous man will not blossom so early. But at the age of 55, he's so established. You know, there are certain levels of prosperity that God puts you into. Even he, when he wants to change his mind, he finds it harder to just remove you. He doesn't want to disturb the thing that he has done. No, I know what I'm saying. Matter of fact, that's what God does for the righteous people. He gives them problems early. You understand my point? It is good for a young man to bear his problems in the days of his youth. People who have serious problems, they don't bear it then. When he's 35, when he's 30, he's so rich. Every weekend you ask for him, he has gone to London. The following weekend, you ask for him, he's in Los Angeles. After that, until one weekend, he says his wife, she says she needs new scarf. He flies to Dubai to go and buy it. Not in sport. Except that when he's 55, he won't be able to pay fees for children university. Yes, that's the way it is. See, just by the way, today we were in my office, we were discussing and we had a very good laugh. Somebody told me a story of one man who was always harassing his ogre to give him money to help him. So the man one day said, stop disturbing, gave him a lot of money for his level, 500,000 naira. I heard it was his true story. So the guy went away with the money, came back next day and returned the safe, sir. Be giving me this money small. Oh God, I can't handle it the way you have arranged it. So what I'm going to say is that that is good. You see, what I'm saying is that, look, there's no point envying people that look like they have plenty more than you. No, it's not necessary. God is taking each person through his layers one by one in life until he can handle his own abundant prosperity. Are you getting my point? Now, the people who have curses upon their head, they disturb this order. You see, I said something to you before that, you see, Satan can never give something to you that God did not plan to give you. He doesn't have that capacity. I don't believe he does. I see men who go and join cults and then because they want to make it either in politics or in business, in music. It's not necessary. Whatever, in fact, let's assume Satan comes to offer you, join me, I'll give you $20 billion. Tell him thank you. I appreciate the $20 billion. I say, are you taking? He said, no, I'm not taking. At least now I know what God has planned to give me. The difference is that Satan says, bow to me, I give you now. God says, walk before me and be perfect, and I will give you then. That's God for you. That's the difference. All right? The problem is that what Satan does is that he short circuits that process. So the people who are cursed jump, and you see, God's processes are important. They are crucial for your survival. They are. You know, I told you I had to restrain myself from teaching something that next year we'll discuss it. Let's finish faith basics this year. I said before, Adam creating 10 times, he has to fall 10 times. That's divine order. That's divine order. I read that when I read the book of Deuteronomy. As soon as Moses was about to leave, God called Moses. He said, write a song. Moses about what? He said, as soon as you die, these people are going to go wrong. They will follow other gods. They will follow the gods of the nations. I know. Don't worry about it. Write them a song. Let them learn the song. All their children will cram it. Go and read that song. The song was about how to be delivered from distress. They said, we forsook our God when they had not forsaken him yet. God told Moses, they are going to forsake me. They will go crazy. They will go mad. They will go mental. I will scatter them from here to everywhere. Then they will remember these words of this song. All right? And they will act upon the words of this song. Then they will repent wherever they are. Then they will return. I will gather them, punish their enemies, and reestablish them here. That's God's process. So God is not really worried. Say, Adam fell. He's supposed to fall. He did hear that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. One Adam had not been created. For what purpose? For the man who's going to fall. That's how blessed people are. They stumble, yes, very good. The stumbling, the processes, they are necessary, all right, for the person's survival. But Satan said, no, forget that side. Bring money, put upon him. Somebody was telling me today, you know, when you sit down and you are envying people, you know, when we sit down, we are envying people. I've heard the story before, Chris Okotie, in the height of his fame, the thing he desired the most was to jump out of the top of Federal Palace Hotel and die. When everybody was doing the Odomine, everywhere. That, you see, when you hear say, Whitney Houston decided to go on cocaine, don't blame the girl. When I say, don't blame her now, it's nothing about her personally, it's the whole system that she's inside. Somebody just wrote a book. I was told about it today. You know Tiger Woods? One of his girlfriends wrote a book and said Tiger Woods is addicted to sleeping pills. You can sit down and be watching, oh, first billionaire sportsman. Said the man doesn't sleep except you stone him out with sleeping pills. No, Michael Jackson. The way he died was the only way he has slept for a long time. Yes, the man could not sleep. He was paying that doctor, I've forgotten how many hundreds of thousands of dollars a month just to make him sleep. You know, I told you last I was calculating how rich I was. This morning, just to get up was the prayer I was praying. I woke up around 5 o'clock. There was something I was supposed to do. I look, I just stretched small. Next thing I knew was 6:30. Ah, yeah. You get what I'm saying? Listen, when Satan short circuits that God's process, he intends to kill the fellow later. That's all. Because by the time he puts weight upon a man who's not developed to carry it, his legs crumble, he breaks his back, everything. That's the end of the man. That is the end of the man. That's the end of the man. A blessed man has problems early in life. Well, he does. But not, look, not as if God hates the man. You know, the other day I flogged my son, 3 years of age. Proper flogging. He knelt down, put up his hands. I made him go through a lot of repentance, you know. But as I was doing it, was I angry with him? No. I just saw something in him that's not supposed to be in a great man. So I removed it. And the process is surgical. A whip, you know, twam on the back, twam on the back, twam on the back. And if he wants me the twam to stop, he should shout early. When I know the thing has entered, then I pause. You kneel down there, put up your two hands. After he has sweated there for like 15 minutes, then I start the preaching process. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not exactly like that, but listen, you don't hit somebody who's older than you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, tell your elder brother, I'm very sorry.
I'm sorry.
Now, listen to me. When you want something, you ask. You keep saying it, he's saying it. Then when he has gotten the point, then you carry him. That's how God does. He said, even though he wounds, he shall yet bind. That's God for you. Then you draw him close, you give him a hug, you give him a small sweet, and then he has gotten the lesson. Let him not be deceived by the hug and the sweet. If he does it again, you start again. That's God for you. Why? Because this guy must be great. He mustn't go to jail. According to Ben Carson. Ben Carson said, you see young boy, say, no, nobody can tell me how to live my life. I go where I want. So by the time they finish, they land in the place where they tell them when to wake up, when to sleep, when to bath. Yes. When to eat. They tell them when to exercise. And they tell them like that for years. Why? Because when they were smaller, they said, nobody should tell me what to do. When you are small, you should be told what to do. When to go out, when to come in, what you can eat, what you can't eat, who you can go out with, who you can't go out with, where you can go, where you can't go. When you learn that when you are young, then when you are given liberty, you know where to go, where not to go. Then you are established forever. Never forgot that thing that Ben Carson said. What he was saying is that young people, they don't need freedom. And he says something, by the way, let me just summarize it, that his parents don't give it to them. That's what he was saying. So people say that they had, how do I get their children from, stop their children from watching TV? He said he doesn't understand that kind of question. That when he was young, he didn't have a father in the house, the mother alone, told them when to watch TV and told them when not to watch TV and put her food down, and they did not watch TV. You know what Satan does when he offers people things? That's what he wants to spoil, that process. Eventually, the man now gets into the prison of life. He has no influence, he has no money, he has nothing. Don't be fooled. When a young man suddenly enters politics, he steals money and is feeling tough. Don't be fooled. Hear me. It's prophetic. He will still become poor. A young man joins cults. Don't be fooled. Hear me. While you watch, he will become poor. It's divine judgment. It's divine judgment. A blessed man goes through his troubles early in life, so that he can learn all the lessons. So he can know the things that are crucial. So that when God puts true and eternal riches in his hands, he doesn't go crazy. He doesn't. He's not impressed by it. One of the richest men in the world, whom several have been named the richest man, has lived in the same house for 40 years. He doesn't, you know, to him it is not anything. 40 years he has lived in the same house, a regular house, regular suburban house, like they call it in America, just regular, maybe bought one duplex years ago. He's been staying there 40 years. It's nothing. So money is not meant for just using to show off. Money for him is building economies, employing people, you know, creating wealth, not just money, but wealth, creating things. That's what God wants to achieve. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a process he takes blessed people through. But Satan, knowing where, maybe he has a glimpse of where they are going, then now offers it to them early and comes to one Jesus Christ, who's supposed to rule the whole world and rule all the creations of God, and says, bow to me and I will give it to you now. Wisdom says, no. If you give me now, let me say with the vexo, I know they quarrel, but if you give me now, I can't carry it. Let me go through God's process. He will build me up to a point where when the thing finally comes, I won't crumble under it. May God not bless you before your time. May you grow into the blessing of God for your life. That way, as cool as you are right now, sleeping the way you sleep now, when you become a multi-billionaire, counting in dollars, you'll still be sleeping like that. You will that is, for you, it's nothing. You will sleep just as peacefully. That's what God is trying to do. That's how it is with blessed people. Now, I went into all of that and it says something about curses. All right? So people misinterpret both. Listen, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you had problems a number of times, it's not a sign that you are cursed. I said curses exist. Remember I said that? But I said more importantly, which I have come to understand, is that there's deliverance in Christ Jesus. There is deliverance in Christ Jesus. And if I have believed in him, I have been delivered. Did I hear you say that? I have been. Say it now.
I have been delivered.
So I established that even though you have challenges, troubles here and there, it's not a sign that you are cursed. You are getting them at the right time. You get my point? It's not a sign of a curse. It may look alike. Are you getting my point? But for you, your own sign is different. It is different. If I have challenges in life, that's why we start with Jabez. Jabez just simply cries to God, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed." Listen, let me summarize it with that. There's something, somebody was telling me something this evening about some challenges he's having. He said, just go home simply and just sit down and pray about it. A friend of mine some time ago, he called me from somewhere in North America and we're talking. He said then, he got his, I think he downloaded from our website. He downloaded the messages, Anatomy of Prayer. In fact, that day he called me. That was, actually not now, that was 3 years ago. We spoke, he said that message blessed him like any other one. He lives in Canada. And Canadian visa is harder than American visa to get. Canadian visa is hard. It's dangerously difficult. Alright? That's the report I've gotten. So, his mother had tried, he wanted the mother to come and visit there. Try, the thing not work. Said, then he heard Anatomy of Prayer. Said that they said he sat on the staircase in his house and just leaned against the wall and simply asked God, please, Lord, give my mother this visa. Next time she went, she got it. Because he said he just heard, I've never listened to Anatomy of Prayer. I preached it, that's all I know. So I can't remember what was inside. He said when he listened to the messages, he just sat on the floor, on the steps in his house. And the prayer didn't take him more than a minute. I think a week or two later, his mother had a visa to come and visit them. Because he asked the Lord in simplicity and in true faith. Do you get my point? That's why, listen, and you know, I keep on telling us this. Anything you really want, settle down and ask God for it. You know, there's ways you calculate before you ask. Okay, if I ask this person for this amount, and then this person does this one, when you have calculated it, you have your plans. I say, hello, now let us pray. That's not what I'm talking about. That one, you already have a way. No. This one is that you're not even thinking about how. I say, if you're a businessman, ask for the craziest thing. Stop plotting for what you know how to do. Watch TV one day and see one great industry, one great project being done. Say, I really love this. Oh. After some time, you think about it. By the time you are really sure you really love it, just sit down and say, Lord, that thing, I want you to do it for me. Ask, and that's it. And watch it. It may take a few weeks, a few months, a few years, but you'll be surprised one day. You just need to remember that, I prayed about this thing some years ago. Come on, it's been done. And that's what Jabez did. And that's what I'm talking about. Jabez was an honorable man, a son of the covenant. But his mother lied to him that he's a cursed man. And I believe that because he believed it, it followed him. Are you getting my point? Then the Holy Spirit stimulated something in him one day. And he settled down and said, God, let us talk. I want to make a request. I want you to please bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, enlarge my borders. Let me not be small. Yes, I'm a preacher in Enugu. Lord, I want to preach in every village in Australia. Do you get my point? I want to go beyond West Africa, beyond Africa. I'm a businessman in Enugu. I want my products to be talked about on the streets of Atlanta. Are you getting my point? And the Bible says that God looked at Jabez and said, are you sure? Say, yes, I'm sure. Take. And God granted him that which he asked. You see, I get people asking me all the time, yeah, am I cursed? You're not cursed, except you didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are cursed people on the earth. You are not one of them. Do you hear what I said? You are not one of them. How do I know? Simple. It's in the scriptures. Even though I said, yeah, African man get problem. You know how much I believe that? But don't ever forget, that was why Jesus died. Are you getting my point? That's why he sent the white man to come and, in quote, plunder, so that our children will stop dying anyhow. Yeah, it's because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why you are here hearing the word of God. That is why. Are you getting my point? And he said, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. He said, there's no difference. That is, if a Nigerian will sit down and with true faith in God, ask God for a company as big as Microsoft, God will do it. The richest man in the world currently is from Mexico. And according to Forbes' calculation, the man who will become the richest man in 5 years is from India. Yes. The Forbes calculation for this year, that if things go the way they are projecting, is it Ahambali or Ahambali brother Ambani, that in the next 5 years, he'll be the richest man in the world, worth 62 or thereabout billion US dollars. That's in India. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't think being the richest man in the world is a prerogative of Americans and Europeans. It has moved to Mexico, and Forbes calculated that if things go the way we are seeing that they should go, in 5 years' time, the richest bobo will be from India. Do you get my point? If you can settle down, I've said this in several times. If you can settle down and say, Lord, I'm a transporter. Right now, I have two Keke Napeps and one bus. And when they just see KLM just fly past, first in the air, say, Lord, I want to have my own be DLM, my own name being Dubem. Yes. And God will just, you know, with God, doesn't it's nothing. It's nothing. You can slap two people in KLM. They transfer the shares to you. Yeah, it's nothing. It's really nothing. You want it? Fine. I do it. Say, Lord, I have one small guest house. We have like 5 rooms. Say, this Sheraton chain, the way they are, I love it. You have your own ideas. You have your own dreams. God, do this for me. All he does is, no problem. Is that what you want? Fine. Fine. That's how God deals with honorable people, you know. Jabez was more honorable, you understand my point, than his brethren. And listen, honorable does not mean that you're a legislator, you understand my point. No, I know what I'm saying. I need to say it clearly. Should I tell you what it means to be honorable in the eyes of God today? Should I tell it to you? Because you have forsaken. Look, listen, everybody, if I say this, please, don't, nothing personal about this. Everybody in your family is a Catholic. You have decided that you want to go out and go and hear the word. Say, no, in our church we don't go. They say, no, I am going to go. I want to go and hear the word of God. You are here this evening. You have come back. To God, it's honorable. A man told me once that his father said, if he leaves Redeemed Church, he will never prosper. That nobody leaves Redeemed and prospers. I told Roque, reply him and tell him that Tunde Bakare was a Redeemed pastor. Yes. You understand? When you make decisions that challenge what everybody is saying because of your fear of God, that's what it means to be honorable. Anybody say that the only way to make it in Nigeria, you must go to America. America is good. I have friends there. You know, I love that country. If when God gives me more money, I'll be going for holiday all the time. It's a nice place. They have very, very fine big cars and big roads. I like it. So I'm not angry with them. But I'm just saying something. Everybody said that is the source of prosperity. You heard the word and you said, no, it's not true. So you make your choices based upon the fact that you know that God is good anywhere. That's what is called honorable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what it means. That's what it means. When men chart a course for you in life and God gives you by revelation, or revelation now being the teaching of his word, you have the understanding that it doesn't have to be like that. And you make your choice because you want to be pleasing to God. That's what it means to be honorable. When you say man is more honorable, I say this, it may sound funny. They are playing a match, crucial UEFA match. At the same time, it coincides with a simple prayer meeting. And you look and say, oh boy, I can watch. You know, some people say that there will be a prayer meeting next week. You say, no, I can watch the video after. You'll be amazed. That's what the Bible calls what? Honorable. I'm telling you. Little things in business, in relating with people, that's just what it means. Look, and when men are like that because of their faith in God, believe me, you know, we are reprinting our track. We all look up before God. When you hear that God is no respecter of men, you must understand what the Bible is saying. He's not a respecter of the fact that he's a prince. His father is a ruler. He's not a respecter of the fact that he has a lot of degrees. He's no respecter of men according to human standards. But hear me, he's a respecter of men according to godly standards. Look, when the angel arrived to answer Daniel, he said, hey, so you are the guy. In heaven, when they talk, they know they take a matter play. Reading American Standard, he said, I have come because you are highly esteemed. He said, the first day you prayed, everywhere was shaking. He said, so you are the guy. Stand, may I measure you first? What the angel said to Daniel is that, oh man of high esteem. We should preach a message on it. Highly esteemed. I'm telling you the truth. I said, there was a time Jeremiah was praying. God sat him down and said, come, quiet. Let's talk. On this matter, even if Moses or Samuel were to ask, I won't answer. You know what that tells Jeremiah? You'll be a small boy. High esteem. People will sin. Sin. People will finish sinning like this. God will bring koboko. I'll kill somebody. Why not for my servant David? That's high esteem. So remember, as a man, God is not a respecter of men. You should know what it means. What it means is that, I can kill a king. To me, it's nothing. I can kill 10 kings to save the life of one small boy whose heart is perfect towards me. For the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. Are you getting my point? So God can like somebody. God loves everybody, amen? But he likes some people. You know, say love and like are two different things. You love everybody equally. Everybody you are fond of. You get my point? Even among disciples of Jesus Christ, if Peter brings his head near the chest of Jesus, he will get knocked. But as for John, my guy, all right. You can like somebody more than somebody else. You follow my point? But what I'm preaching is that it's possible for somebody to make sure he's loved by God in such a manner. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Jabez was like that. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. And when you are like that, it doesn't mean you are perfect, you never do anything wrong. It just means that you have a heart towards God. Believe me, ask God for anything. The only thing he starts doing, he starts preparing you so he can give it to you. Yeah, there are many things you have asked him for. He hasn't given you, not because he doesn't want to give you, but because you're not ready to take them yet. Do you get what I'm saying? So you say, oh, you want it? Fine, let me start preparing you for it. He starts fine-tuning you, shaping you, moving you through this, delivering you from this, removing this from you, adding this one to you. Say, Lord, why am I going through all of this? He says, you told me you wanted me to do this for you, and this you have to get to this level for me to be able to, so that thing does not crumble you. So I'm preparing you for that thing that you asked me for. I hope you are blessed by the message. There's a short exhortation. Yes, there are curses, but the same God is rich. And when you go through adversity, don't let anybody fool you. One day, this just came to my mind. One day you will look back and you will laugh. You know what means to laugh? Your mouth is filled with laughter. I've closed though. When Abraham laughed, he wasn't laughing because he was doubting God. You heard that thing before. Some people are not persuaded. It was one day I just realized, I should have known how to persuade them. The meaning of the word Isaac is what? Who knows the Bible? Isaac means what? Laughter. So when God finished talking and Abraham roared with laughter, he wasn't mocking God. He said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." People say he was asking God that use Ishmael. Why are you telling me I will have a son? No. Because immediately after, God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." So when Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." You know the truth? When Abraham heard that he was going to have a son, he looked at Ishmael and he knew divine order. Ishmael was going to die. I'm going to have a son. This guy is older than the other one that's coming. He just understood divine order. God is taking Ishmael away. So he now prayed for Ishmael. He said, "Oh, that Ishmael will live before you." And God said, read the next few verses. He said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard you." What am I saying? When God declared to Abraham and he saw what God was about to do, he couldn't stop laughing. For him, the laughter was not mockery. That's why the name Isaac meant laughter. That God caused me to laugh. What am I saying? One day you will look back, and when you see what God has done in your life, you will look back at just a few years ago, one evening, you know, and you were sitting down, you were praying, and they said, "Ask for this." And when you see the thing, you just start laughing. You will just start laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "I don't know what is funny. But I just remember that a few years ago, Pastor Banky was preaching, I was there and we were praying. And I prayed about this thing. I look now, it's done. What's funny is that it looked big then. Now it looks normal." I hope you've gotten my point. Let's bow down our heads again. Ask God simply. Say, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed." Use your own words. Say, "Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. I will not be small. In this life I'm living, I will not be small. In this ministry I'm involved in this business I'm doing, in life I will not be small. Enlarge me indeed, and make my name great, and bless me indeed, and deliver me from harm, from trouble that will not come near me, from explosions that come suddenly on people and hear that 10 died. Say, Lord, it will not come near me. It will not come upon my descendants. It will not come upon my family. It will not come upon my business. Lord, oh, that you will protect me indeed in my going out and in my coming in. Lord, I know I'm not cursed. I know, Lord, you are forgiving me. Therefore, I'm honorable in your presence. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed you have heard. In the name of Jesus Christ." Let's just give the Lord. Say, "Father, we thank you because it's been a beautiful day." Say, "Lord, we thank you because your word has come forth and has blessed us." Say, "Lord, we thank you." Let's drop a word of blessing for Nigeria. Say, "Goodness and mercy will follow this land." Say, "Lord, your remnant, your people, they will take over in this land. You will exalt truth by exalting true people in this nation. In the name of Jesus. We speak to this land again. You will bear fruit for us. You will bear fruit for us. You will yet be a delightsome land." Say, "We speak to the leadership of Nigeria. In your mind, go to Aso Rock. In your mind, go to the legislative houses and declare God's will be done in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Good policies." And listen, you know, recently they said the arms were found. Plenty of arms in Lagos. And it was striking to me that they were being shipped from Iran. I mean, I saw that one on CNN, on their website, the plenty arms they found in Lagos port was coming from Iran. They are claiming, the man was asking, "Okay, load it back, let's carry it somewhere." I don't know the details, but I thought to myself, anyone who would try to bring all these Islamic problems that they're having in Iraq, in Pakistan, that they try to spread to Uganda, all those problems, anyone who would bring it to try to bring it into this land, Lord, destroy him from the roots before he flourishes in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Listen, this bombing here, you know, you watch CNN, that's all CNN, hey, another bomb blast in Karachi has killed 15 people. It will not be the testimony of Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Yeah. The first bomb that will be planted Lord, to cause this kind of trend in this country, let it explode in the hands of the man preparing it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This evil will not prosper in this country.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, give wisdom to our leaders. And by your angels, Lord, protect our borders.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And favor will follow you everywhere you go. You will dwell in the presence of God forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name. I declare that it's well with you. In Jesus' name. The rest of this week will bring you good.
Amen.
You will get phone calls that will make you smile.
Amen.
Doors will open to you where they were previously closed.
Amen.
And things will turn around in your favor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren. The word walks.